Father, we just say, blessed be your name this morning. Thank you for bringing us together as your church. Father, we thank you. Amen. Let's be seated for a moment. Good morning again. Like, what am I going to say? You can grab a seat. Thank you. Yeah, that's my keyboard assistant. She's been playing keyboard for me. Well, kind of like with me for about 13 years now, since she was, about 11 years since she was seven. So she knows all my signals. Thank you, dear. All right, so good morning, everybody. Welcome to Christ Faith Tabernacle. My name is Pastor Benson. I'm the pastor of this local church. We're part of a church that's based outside of Bristol. It's actually based in London. So this is the Bristol branch. So welcome. I think we've been in Fish Ponds now for slightly over a year, so it's been fantastic. Now, so what we do as a church is that when on the Sundays, we usually do our teachings in form of series. So we might have like a series that runs over a few weeks so that we can look at all aspects of that particular topic. Now, we started a new series last week called Love, Dating, and Marriage. Love, Dating, and Marriage. And what I mentioned last week is that I'm going to be looking at this over the next few weeks. There are some bits that might be relevant to you. There are some bits that might not be directly relevant to you. But I think the point I made is that even if it's not directly relevant to you now, you can still kind of like listen, and it might serve as you being able to advise someone else who might be in that particular situation, even though you're not. So it's still good knowledge anyway. So we started last week. I'll just give us a quick summary from last week, then we'll carry on. with the bits that I'll be looking at today. So looking at love, dating, and marriage. And I made a number of points last week. And one of the major points that I made last week was the fact that God has made us in such a way as humans that we have the desire to want to be with someone else for friendship, for intimacy. That, you know, he's put that desire in us that there are people who we'll like and who we want to be kind of like intimate with. So that desire comes from God. And I think the thing I mentioned was that I didn't want to come from the angle of don't do this, don't do that. If you're feeling, no. We need to get the basis that God knows how you feel. He knows that oftentimes we don't want to be alone. And we looked at that quite extensively. So we now said, okay, if God knows that, look, I have this desire, or you have this desire as a man, as a woman, who wants to be with someone else, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with that desire? And we said, before we look at the way God looks at it, let's look at the way popular culture looks at it. So we said, dating is the means by which, I got a dictionary definition, where an individual assesses another individual. And it's like a yardstick to say, okay, I think I'm kind of like attracted to this person. Let me see if we might be suitable. So that's the way that popular culture does it. And I was just mentioning that it's kind of like Valentine's season now. If you go into any shop now, it's like all painted in red hearts, you know, and all that. It's not coincidence, by the way. So dating is the way that popular culture says, okay, there's this person that you like, you know, just assess them and, you know, see how it goes. And I mentioned that that's where people put their best foot forward. And You know, maybe you take someone out on a date, and if you're the guy before, you know, maybe you drive her there before she gets out, you rush to the other side of the door, like, oh, no, let me open the door. She wants to sit down. It's like, oh, no, you know. Fast forward a year later, it's like, aren't you going to open the door? I believe you've got hands, dear. So what I'm just saying is it's the means, dating is the means by which people assess other people, basically, to address the desire of wanting to be intimate with someone. But last week, I mentioned a number of things about dating. And I said, look, let's all come to a conclusion together logically. So it's not just me saying this and that. So we looked at a number of points. And one thing I mentioned last week was the fact that with dating, and when I say dating, I'm saying dating, leaving God out of the equation, where an individual is like, okay, I can make my choice myself, which is fine. I mean, I know what I like in someone, and I know what I don't like. So God, if it's on the Sunday, I can worship, but this one, I can take care of it. And I mentioned that there are few challenges with that. So the first challenge I mentioned was that, look, with dating is usually quite temporal. If you see like a 16-year-old or 17-year-old who wants to date, they have no intention of getting married. I mean, they don't even know what marriage means at that point in their life. So it's usually short-lived. Even adults as well who date, I'm looking at popular culture now, usually it's not like, okay, I want to marry this person. It's just like, I want to be with this person. So I mentioned that because of the temporary nature of dating, people go through something called heartbreak. And I mentioned that in the 60s, if you were born in the 60s, they had a lot of like really hit songs around heartbreak because it was, you know, everybody, it was like a dating craze then. And they had like all these songs of, oh, she left me, my heart is la 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 la, you know, just, it was all about heartbreak and, you know, people be like crying and all that stuff. But what I mentioned was that heartbreak is not a joking matter at all. And we read last week, this is not even looking at what the Bible says about heartbreak. We read that what heartbreak does to an individual is it's like a kind of like mourning, and it does something to the heart of the individual. And I now mention that, look, if someone goes through heartbreak time after time, maybe the person has been dating since they were 17 or 16 or whatever, or even as adult, and that person goes through heartbreak time after time, it begins to do something to them that they're not aware of. They are wounded. And how does that turn up? You don't see, you know, people saying, oh, I'm heartbroken. Maybe they might be sad for a while and they go on with their life. But there's a residue there. And oftentimes that residue will come up sometime in the future. I've been talking to, well, as a pastor, I'm going back to last week. I talk to loads of people. I have loads of friends and people who say, okay, pastor, can you talk to us about our marriage? My wife is doing this, or my husband is doing this. I'm like, okay, no problem, let's talk. And I sit and I listen. And when I'm listening, I'm just asking myself, like, that this thing that this guy did to his wife, or this thing that his wife did to him, it's not a big deal at all. But why is this person so annoyed? Do you understand? With this little thing that this person is doing to them. Now, obviously, there are some little things that people do consistently and it just annoys you. Like, there was one I used to do them, but I'm not going to say. So there are little things that, you know, annoy people. I'm not talking about those things that you don't like. I'm just talking about things that on the surface, it's not a big deal. But it's triggering something in you that you're not aware of. And I listen, and, you know, someone might just flare up and say, well, this is an example, by the way, it's just totally fictitious, it's not referring to anyone. And it's like, okay, so what's the problem? I asked my husband to buy a loaf of bread from Sainsbury's, and he came home without the loaf of bread. Can you imagine? This guy is just, you know, he couldn't even buy the loaf of bread. He's just so inconsiderate. I mean, why didn't you stop at the shop? The shop is just, I was like, oh, whoa. Are we talking about a loaf of bread here? To the outside observer, like, whoa, you know, relax, you know? Relax. You now realize that it is actually triggering something that has piled up. Then there are times I'm like, okay, let's calm down here. And you now begin to say, okay, do you know that the reason why you might be so upset now has nothing to do with what this guy has done? What really happened? Why are you annoyed? And sometimes they might not know why they're annoyed. Heartbreak. Several people have disappointed them. Their heart is like so touchy. And it triggers. So that's even the psychological part. The Bible also says something about the spirit of a man. Anyway, we looked at all that last week. And I mentioned that, okay, look, last week, if popular culture says dating is the way that we assess someone, you know, be on our best behavior so that, you know, they might get with us and all that. So if that has so many pitfalls, how do we do it from God's perspective? How can we deal with our desires to want to be with someone in such a way that it's more productive on the long run? That's what we're going to be looking at today. So I spoke extensively about dating last week. And maybe someone was saying, okay, so what are you saying? Are you saying we shouldn't date? Are you saying, I said, no, I didn't say that. I just said, look, these are the pitfalls. So make your choice. Just know that if you're going to do that, these are the things that you're going to deal with. And if you want to deal with those things, then, you know? Yeah, I mean. And we said this week we're going to look at God's perspective in terms of dealing with the desires that we have. Because God is the one that has put these desires there anyway. So how do we deal with it? I'm going to be looking at three main points this morning. Now, the first point I want to make is this. The desire that a man or woman has to want to be intimate with someone else and all that is a desire that God has put there. But God has specified that desire has to be met within the context of marriage. And I'll read Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says, the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So the first point we see here is this. God is the one that put this desire there. But he has also specified how our desire for companionship at that level and intimacy can be satisfied in a way that is conducive for us. I don't think, this is my personal opinion, I'm not quite sure God made human beings to go from one relationship to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. I'm not quite sure that's the way God has made us. I don't think we can cope with it. Even for guys that are like, never, I can never get married. I'll have like 30 girlfriends. We read that last week. Oh yeah, I mean, I know guys from my university days and it was like, that was their main truth. But that really hurts people. It hurts the people themselves who are not aware and other people as well. So God says, look, that desire is to be fulfilled in the context of marriage. In the context of marriage. And even God put it there. He says, it's not good for man to be alone or woman, so he will make a helper suitable. So that's the first point, that God has made marriage the context by which we satisfy our desire for intimacy, because he's the one that put it there. So that's the first point. The next point I'm going to make is this. God's way, and it ties to the first one, for us to meet this desire is not through dating. It's not through dating. And when I say it is not through dating, I'm saying that with dating comes the sexual relationship oftentimes. With dating comes every other thing most of the time without the commitment. Dating has every other thing, well, mostly, without the commitment of a permanent. So if I put it clearly here, the second point I want to make is this. Dating is not God's way of fulfilling that desire. Someone might be saying, oh man, Pastor Benson, isn't that like proper old school? That's like the 1950s, Pastor Benson. Well, it might be, but that's what God's word says as well. You see, I'm quite a practical guy. So I'm the kind of guy that if you tell me something, right, I don't know if it's my old accounting brain. If you tell me something, then you need to explain what the consequences of those things are. So it's not good enough for you to say, okay, don't do this. Why? Why shouldn't I do it? So that's a perspective that I come from. So for me, it's not just, okay, God says, don't have premarital sex. God says we shouldn't, but why? What are the consequences to you? Let's even bring God out of this as an individual. Do you understand? And I can begin to list all those things. So I know the reason why. So God says here that dating is not the way to fulfill that desire for intimacy that he has put in us, even though popular culture might say that. And if you look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Romans chapter 12 verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, dating is casual with no real commitment in it. And when I'm saying dating, I'm not really talking about just, you going out with someone and having a... I'm talking about what it encompasses, the whole relationship thing that goes on in the context of dating. So when I say dating, it's everything that goes with it, as popular culture says, not just the, you're going out on a date, not just that, but everything that's involved with that. So the second point that I made is that dating is not God's way of really helping to satisfy that. In God's eyes, it's marriage that does that. So the third point I want to make this morning, and I'll just break that down in a bit, is so what... Okay, fine. You're saying dating isn't the way, Pastor Benson. So what's the way? Tell me how, I want to know. Well, it's all in the Bible. And I'm going to read a portion of scripture, then I'll just try and explain one or two things. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 24. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 24. I'm going to read the NIV version, but whatever version you've got is fine. It will also be projected on the screen. It says, the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord had formed out of the ground. Okay, so I'll start again. The Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So God realized that, hang on, this guy is just alone, man. I think I need to get him a mate. He now says, now, God had formed out of the ground all wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up that place with flesh. Then God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now my bone. This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." In other words, he said, "Wow." She will be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Verse 24, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. And they become one flesh. So we see a scenario here where God says, it's not good for this man to be alone. He needs help. He needs companionship. Then what does God do? God now forms, he creates animals, lions, tigers, and all those things. And he brings them before Adam. All right? Adam says, that's a lion, that's a tiger, that's a giraffe, that's, what's that thing in New Zealand, that bird that jumps that they don't have. Anyway, that's that. And after a while, it says, no one was found, still there was no one found for Adam. Then God now does something. He now forms the woman from Adam and he brings her before Adam. Adam now says, yes, that is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Straight away, he realizes that that's the person that I'm going to be with. And he calls her woman. There's a number of things that I can say there, but I'm just going to make a number of points here. So in finding someone to be with, the first thing we see here is this. God has an interest in it. And in the case of Adam, God was involved in the whole process. Yeah, God was involved. He was the one that was walking in the background. I don't think Adam was aware that God was walking in the background. He probably thought, you know what, God is only interested in my singing, my praise and worship and all that. God's interested and all that, but marriage and all those things, I mean, God doesn't have time for that. But God was walking in the back. He was walking in the background, organizing things. So that's the first thing that we see. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14 says something. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14, it says, houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. One can also say a prudent husband is from the Lord. So this makes the point that, look, there are certain things that you can just get. You can inherit, you can get by yourself. But when it comes to someone that you want to be with forever, God needs to be involved. I was just thinking, this thought came to me a long time ago. Now, do you guys know Adolf Hitler? Or is it Adolf Hitler? Do you know that? Because I love history quite a lot, by the way. Adolf Hitler started his early life as a devout Christian. He went to church, sat down, probably sang hymns. And they said he was like quite quiet. But as time grew on, he became slightly more involved in all these things. So he was a church guy initially. So can you imagine if there was a woman in that church and said, oh, man, that Adolf guy is such a nice guy. He's so quiet. Oh, my goodness. Have you seen him? The guy doesn't say much. That's the guy I'm going to marry because I just want someone who is quiet, someone who's caring, someone who's not loud, someone who's not. Adolf fits the whole bill and she gets married to Adolf. And realizes that, my goodness, this guy is, she's married someone that is going to kill millions of people. So what am I saying here? When we come across people, we need to let God be involved in it because God knows the future. Do you understand? But I think maybe for a lot of us, we've been quite fortunate. We've just hooked up with people and it worked out. But it says here, the first point was that God was involved in the whole process. So what this means in our context is, if we're looking for someone to be with, we need to involve God. And pray to God and say, God, I think I'm looking for someone. And let God be involved in the process to help you. Because God knows the heart of every individual. He knows who's suitable for you. So that's the first point that we see. Now, the second point we see here is this. God organized the meeting of Adam and Eve. He brought her across his path. And there's a portion of scripture in Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The Lord makes firm the path of those who delight in him." The King James Version says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So the second thing was that God was the one that organized the meeting. He just made it in such a way that she happened to be there. You know, she happened to be at the same church as this guy, even though they lived in like separate countries. You know, they just happened to be in the same church at that particular time. I remember that, I mean, I mentioned to Prince here and Dickness, I sent them a message this morning that I hope you guys don't mind if I use your case as an example. You know, there's like data protection and all that. You can't just, you know, say these things. And they said, yes, you can say, you can. So in their case, so you had Dick Lennis's wife. She was at our church in London. He was in some far place, maybe Wales or somewhere far. There was no way they would have met. Then one day, Dick Lennis was at a wedding. And he happened to be at that wedding as well. And he had what I'll call an Eve moment. Do you know what an Eve moment is? Hey guys, I need American style here. Do you know what an Eve moment is? I just made that up, by the way. He saw her and he said, wow. Wow. And for her as well, I think... What she mentioned was that her parents, her mom, her brothers then were like, I mean, you're like, how old now? You're like, man, no guy comes to visit you. You know, no boys anywhere, you know? I mean, you're just always going to this church business, no guy now. You know? So they're like, you know how it is, right? They're like, oh, so who's the guy? And she goes, oh, there's no guy. No guy. You know? So she was in that space. I'm not quite sure he was thinking about that at that time. But one way or the other, their paths crossed. And when he saw her, he knew straight away that, look, there's no wasting time. I'm not going to waste time here. I don't know. And he's trying his best not to smile. You can't smile. He's like, Pastor, I'm not going to smile no matter what you say. I'm not going to give you guys the details of the story. You know what I mean? You're not going to smile. And that just worked out. That worked out that way. And, okay, I was going to say something else, but... So we see here that the second point is that God organizes this thing. There's another story that I read somewhere. There was this missionary girl from America, and young girl, and she said, look, she's going to go to a really remote village somewhere in Africa to be a missionary. And I think the concern of her parents and all those around her were like, man, you're such a pretty girl. You're in your 20s. You're going into a jungle. Man, goodbye. I mean, who are you going to get married to there? All those guys are like, you know, there's no one. And you know what happened? The same way, there was some guy that I think she had gone to high school with, lost contact with the guy. This guy as well. Went from the States as well, in a few months, went to that same village, and he was doing like missionary work as well, from another part of the world, and immediately he saw her. He had an Eve moment. God organized that meeting for them as well. So what am I saying here? I'm just saying that, look, God can help in these things if we let him. Do you understand? So the second point we see in the story of Adam and Eve is that God was the one that organized the meeting. Now, the third thing here is this. I've come across people who will tell me sometimes that, man, this God business, how about if God brings someone I don't like? And it's like, you know, they're like, oh, I think, how about if God whispers in my ears and says, that's the person you're going to get married to. And I don't like her at all. I don't find her attractive. She doesn't find me attractive. And it's like, God, I have to leave you out of this because I have my preferences. You know, I have my preferences. The guy has to be this. The girl has to be this. Any other thing apart from that, God, and I'm not quite sure, God. We realize here, which is the third point that I want to make, is that God brought someone that Adam was attracted to. He brought someone that Adam was attracted to. When he saw her, he didn't just say, okay, Eve, or hello, do you live down the road? Or he didn't say, oh, do you know, the first thing that came was, wow, short form. So the third point I'm making here is this. Oftentimes, God will bring people across our path that we will like. And they will like us back as well. They will like you back as well. I remember something. I was thinking that for my late wife, right, when I met her, the first time I met her was in, you guys are going to be like, oh man, is this guy that old? Was in 1993. We were at a summer computer camp, right? I was still quite young, and that was quite a while ago. 1993 was like how many years? That was like 20, anyway, 1993. Was it 93? Yeah, 1993. And at this, 30 years. 30 years, can you beat that? Anyway, so, we're at this it was a computer camp thing, and I saw her. I was like, wow, that's really, you know. And I said, oh, hi, how are you? In the same computer school. Hi, how are you? And I think I came with my cousin, and we're going down her road, and we're going that way. Do you live around here? We can give you a lift. And she gave me a look. And that look was, I used to make fun of her. She said, oh, sorry, that won't be necessary. Thank you. And she walked away. I'm like, hey, I was just trying to be friendly here. You know, what's all the, you know? And she walked away. And that was it. The next time I met her, I went to visit my cousin took me to a friend's house. This was like about a year later. And she was friends with my cousin's friend's sister. And I walked into the house. This was about over a year after that. And she was there with my cousin's friend's sister. And in my mind, I was like, oh, it's that girl again. Oh, I just said, hello, bye. And I was like, oh, this hard-faced girl. So I didn't even think anything to it. Then later, I met her again 2 years later. And at that point, I was like, I'm going to make a move. So I did something really silly, which I'm not going to say here. But that's not the point that I'm making, right? Fast forward almost 20 years later, and I was talking with her. We're home in Bristol here. And I said, that first time that I met you at that school, what was going on in your mind? I mean, you were so dismissive. Do you know what she told me? Guess. She said that when she saw me, and I came to talk to her, that she really liked me. And a year later, when she now realized that, when I saw her again with my cousins, sisters, you know what I mean? In her heart, what she was like, wow, I hope this guy, tries to make contact with me through his cousin. She told me that when she saw me, she liked me a lot. So I was like, boy, you didn't. She said, man, I forget about that. So what am I saying? I'm saying here that when God brings someone across your path, they will like you, even if they pretend not to. True. And you will like them. So when someone comes and is like, there's this girl that I like, and the girl doesn't really like them, I'm not saying they're pretending like my wife did then. If they don't like you, then, I don't know. So the third point is this. God brought someone that Adam was attracted to. I have a number of points. Two more, then we'll pray. The fourth point is this. God did not choose Eve for Adam. He didn't choose. He didn't say, this is the person that you should get married to. Although he knew. He brought her across him. But remember that before Eve came, before he brought Eve, he brought other things across Adam as well. He brought a lion. He brought a tiger. He brought a kangaroo. All those things. And God was watching Adam. He said God was watching to see what he would call them. So what am I saying? God will bring a number of people across our paths sometimes, but he expects you and I to use the principles that he has taught us to make the right choice. To make the right choice. So, even if people come across your path and you like them naturally, there are still some principles that you need to apply to verify that this person is the right person for you. We'll look at those next week. But I guess what I'm saying is that God didn't choose for Adam. He only provided the opportunity. And when that opportunity came, he realized that, wow, this is the person for me. Now, so the last point I want to make. So we're looking at God's involvement in choosing someone that's suitable for us or for an individual. So the last point I want to make, which is the fifth one, is this, and which is a big one in popular culture here. Adam maintained sexual purity before he met Eve. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. It says, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So, popular culture says, you see someone that you like, you date them, you sleep with them. After a while, if you're not happy with them, dump them. Yeah. Dump them. God says, as a single person, you are meant to remain sexually pure. You're like, Pastor Benson, what do you mean by that? For anyone that will listen to this as well, that's exactly what I mean. So it says here in this 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, that for anyone that is single, that person, man, woman, boy or girl, should be sexually pure. In action, in thought, and in mind. That's what the Bible says. For a lot of reasons. For a lot of reasons. So I've heard people in the past say, "What? Are you trying to tell me?" Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So what does that mean? What that means is this: from the context of the believer, until one is ready to get married and have that kind of relationship, then one shouldn't even be thinking about that at all. Until one is planning to get married. And even when one finds the person that one wants to get married to, one still has to maintain that till they get married. And it's quite a challenging thing, I must say, in popular culture, because popular culture is like, no, you should be, you know, kissing them and all that. And God says, no, you should not be doing that. No, you should not be doing that. You should remain pure before God. And there's so many ways we can do that. And maybe we will look at that next time. Because I can tell you that what popular culture is doing at the moment is promoting the fact that no, there's nothing wrong with that. You should just be with the person you want to be with as long as you love them, in quote. But God says, no, there's so many consequences to it. All right? So I'm going to stop there. Next week, we'll look at some practical steps. Oh, okay, someone comes across your way. How do you know this is the right person for you? God also has the answers to those as well. So I'm going to end here. So we've looked at today that God is the one that has put the desire for intimacy in us. So it's not a foreign thing. It's not something we should be alarmed about, or that anyone should be alarmed if you're feeling in a particular way. It's God that put that there. But he has put marriage as the context with which, you know, that desire can be fulfilled. Second thing I mentioned is that dating, and when I say dating, not just going out to dinner, when I'm saying dating, I'm talking about the whole process of being with someone in the context of this like temporary thing, is not really God's way of fulfilling that desire, because it has so many consequences that are damaging to the individual. That's why God prescribes marriage. And I'll mention that, okay, as a believer, how do you find someone that's suitable? I said, we looked at the case of Adam. God was involved. God was the one that organized the meeting. He brought someone that Adam was attracted to. God didn't choose for him. He expected Adam to make the choice by himself. And that God expects us to be sexually pure or sexually, well, in this context as well. And I'm going to end here today. One thing I mentioned last week was this. The relationships, should I say the romantic relationships that someone gets involved in, is one of the things that has such a massive impact on the life of an individual. Massive, massive impact. And God knows that. And God wants to really protect us as his children. So God isn't saying, never. No, he's not saying never. But he's just saying that, look, he cares about us so much. So when God says, follow this way, is because God wants to protect our hearts. It's because God cares for us. It's not because God wants to be like a spoil spot, as popular culture would say. No, it's because he loves us. It's because he cares for us. And he doesn't want us to experience the pain that popular culture paints with such an interesting brush. Amen. So this morning, I just want us to rise up and pray. I want us to pray for ourselves, and I want us to pray for maybe people we know as well who have gone through heartbreak at one point or the other. I know people who, even men, because of heartbreak, They come out and they're in front of everybody. They're like, yeah, I'm the tough guy. But behind closed doors, they're crying. I know men who do that because they have been so wounded. So this morning, you want to pray and just say, look, if anyone has gone through heartbreak in the past, you want to say, God, bring healing to them. Do you understand? If you know anyone that has been so touched and is like, I'm never, ever going to have anything to do with anyone, or even when they do, it's like so measured, God can bring healing to their hearts as well. So we just want to pray that God bring healing to maybe our own hearts as well. Maybe there are things that we've experienced that we haven't even shared with anyone at all. But God is saying this morning, I can bring healing to every area of your life. And for those who we know who are going through challenges in their relationship as well, God can bring healing to them as well. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word about dating, love, and marriage. Father, we thank you that even in this area that you're concerned for us, you haven't just said, well, sort it out yourself. No. You care about us to the point that you want us to have good relationships. You care about us so much that you do not want us to suffer heartbreak. Father, thank you for caring. Father, I pray for everyone who maybe has gone through heartbreak at one point or the other. Your word says that you heal every broken heart. Let every broken heart be healed in Jesus' name. For the people who we know that have come to our minds to say, look, this person has gone through this in their relationship. Father, bring healing to their hearts in Jesus' name. Father, we even come in every relationship that we know that might be experiencing any form of like turbulence or disagreement. Bring peace, Father, I pray. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name.